This is Focus with Emma Griffiths on ABC Radio Brisbane.
There's a disaster on our doorstep, but you'd be forgiven for not knowing anything about it. Australia's nearest neighbour, once a territory ruled by Australia, was hit 6 weeks ago by a devastating earthquake, strong aftershocks and landslides. People are still homeless. Conflict has broken out over aid supplies, and there are fears a whole generation of children will miss out on schooling. It's happening in Papua New Guinea, and as athletes from Commonwealth nations, including PNG, gather to compete in the Gold Coast Games, women from PNG, activists, leaders, have gathered with other women from Commonwealth nations to talk about the real issues affecting women and children. Like, why are they the worst affected in times of disaster and conflict? And what they, the women, are doing about it. The gathering is the Women of the World Festival. It opens Friday at the Powerhouse. Oh, and you can win tickets to the festival on the show today. You'll win double passes for the whole weekend, as well as Saturday night's cabaret performance of Hot Brown Honey. You need to listen to the show. We'll tell you when to call to win. And from you, I know you've got amazing stories to tell. If you're a woman and you've experienced disaster or war or both, what happened? If you're a man and you've seen what's happened to a woman that you know in that situation, 1300 222 612 is the number to text, 0467 922 612, and you can email the Focus team, focusbrisbane@abc.net.au.
Focus with Emma Griffiths on ABC Radio Brisbane.
Why is Papua New Guinea considered one of the most dangerous places in the world to be a woman? At the moment, they're caught in the crossfire of tribal warfare, and many have been left homeless by February's earthquake. What would help them? Mary Kinney is co-founder of CUP, Women for Peace, and has been awarded the UN Pacific Human Rights Award for her work in mediating conflict. Hello, Mary.
Hi.
Agnes Titus has been working to empower women in Bougainville for 40 years. She is described as a mother of the Bougainville women's movement. Agnes, good morning.
Good morning, Emma.
Both will be speaking at the Women of the World Festival, WOW, on Saturday, along with Mariana Katsarova, who's the founder of the Reach All Women in War platform, or RAW. Mariana, hello.
Hello, Emma.
Mary Kinney, what do you know about the current situation in Papua New Guinea after the earthquake? What are communities experiencing?
I'm based in Simbu, in the other part of the province, but right now there are so many displaced women and children into the situation of the earthquake in the Tari around Moro, and you know, like the Southern Highlands. They're displaced and they're still homeless. They have nothing to eat. People around the country and even from the outside, they're still contributing towards them. And we are struggling to really help them out because right now they are not in a better situations after the earthquake.
I was reading reporting from our ABC correspondent there, Eric Torchek, that some of the women there have also been caught in the middle of tribal warfare, that tribal warfare has really become worse since the earthquake.
The tribal warfare, maybe it's happening around Tari, but also we are experiencing out in the provinces in Simbu and other parts of the highlands. You know, we are also into this experience of tribal warfare.
What does that mean, tribal warfare?
Tribal warfare in a customary way, you know, like before, it used to happen between two tribal clans, and they used to fight each other, and, you know, the fighting, when it escalates, like, it disturbs the whole family, so we had to, you know, move from one place to another, and we are disturbed through this tribal warfare. Like, before, they used to use bows and arrows, but now it's more to do with high-powered guns being taken into the community, and it's more like, you know, some kind of a war where we haven't experienced that before, and now it's happening in the community where people, you know, like, they're terrorized with these high-powered guns, and there's so many things happening there where people live with trauma, and even children, you know, they don't go to school because of the disturbance that is caused within the province and the community.
How do you, Mary Kinney, with your group CUP Women for Peace, how do you go about mediating in cases of tribal warfare?
It has been a need so long in our community where, you know, men became heroes in their own communities, and they used to really fight, and they don't even care about women and girls in that community, the particular place called CUP. And it used to be a history in that province that, you know, they become the most violent people. So we had to become, you know, some kind of ways where we feel that it's about time we should stand up and, you know, stop these men folks from, you know, creating a trouble fight. So we became this organization called CUP Women for Peace, and I'm one of the founder. And Mommy Agnes and Angela Appa, they are my two, you know, enemy tribal sisters, where we all came together and we formed this organization to really stand up and say no to men that, you know, they always come up with these ideas of causing trouble, conflicts in our community. So in the sense of, you know, getting into the mediation, it's more like women mobilizing women. And we all stand up together to say no. And in the midst of men, we could stand up and say no to trouble fight. So that's how we get men to listen to us. Maybe it took us almost some good years, 4 to 5 years, before we really tamed the men to understand the way we're trying to really mediate to men and to get them settled and to understand that, you know, like, we women, we don't want trouble fight.
That must have taken a lot of courage.
In our society, women are not allowed to stand up and talk in public. We were regarded as were women in the house. We became, you know, kitchen girls. We used to look after pigs. And we make men to be, you know, like the frontliners. They can talk and they can come out and say that, you know, like, we are men. This is what we do. But, you know, from some years, like, we have learned that we need to come out. So we had to start up somewhere. And when we came out, we joined hands together with other women folks around CUP. And it's a long story. You must have read from the website how we started. So, like, we women had to take courage, and we came out and we said no. And, you know, from there, like, we had to really come out and say we had to do something. So it's more about women getting together and, you know, like, women mobilizing women to stand together.
Mary Kinney, do you think it's been successful?
It has been a long years, and it's from now, when we just came out from the last fight in 2010, and there's been a big fight in that place, and we had to move out to another district in Karawagi, and looking back into CUP, and we are just seeing changes happening. Women are really feeling that we didn't really waste our time. And now the men, it used to be a tribal warfare, and now people are just turning it to be like, it's your business. We cannot join in. We can just stand back and do our own, mind our own business. There are some conflict in between, but they say that it's no man's business. And people just feel that we had enough. And when something is happening, people are seeking justice. And in another place, like, they say that it used to be a tribal conflict, but now it's becoming like a family conflict. And we have seen some changes happening.
Agnes Titus, you've worked for so long to empower women, nearly 40 years. Mm. What has your experience taught you about stopping conflict in communities?
Well, communities in Bougainville, which I draw all my experience from, we look at traditional ways, we look at our cultural ways, and our cultural ways have a lot of good things to draw from. So much so that when Bougainville went through its conflict, people like myself, I would just look back into cultural ways of reconciling. But not only cultural ways. You know, people are very spiritual too. That also played a very big role in getting us to look for reconciliations among warring parties, or even just among families. Everybody when I was growing up in Bougainville, I think everybody valued peace very much. And so when Bougainville went through its conflict, we knew exactly what we were fighting for, you know, to return that peace, to return Bougainville to its what it used to be.
And like Mary, did you feel that there was a real push for peace from the women in the community?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I think one element of difference where I see from Bougainville to the Highlands region of Papua New Guinea, for example, is the fact that our society, being matrilineal, gives us a little leverage, I think. That's how I see. Because when I'm talking about that matrilineal a concept of our society, as in Bougainville, the women are given recognition, whereas I find that our sisters in the Highlands, it is so much more different, and they really start from way below that line.
Mary's nodding.
Yes, and I had to understand that. To understand the different ways where us in Papua New Guinea and Bougainville are working from. And that's how I value that being matrilineal in Bougainville gives us that kind of recognition in our society as women.
What does it mean practically?
Well, being in matrilineality, for me, my kin passes through the woman's side. Then the land ownership also passes through the woman's side. So that gives the women a special status to start off with.
Special and rare around the world, you would say, Agnes, isn't it?
I would say that, yeah.
Now, it is the women and children who experience most war crimes, yet rarely get to tell their stories and achieve justice. That was the conclusion reached by then-journalist and advocate Mariana Katsarova, who set out to change that. After working in conflict zones in Chechnya, Bosnia and Kosovo, Mariana established RAW, Reach All Women in War. Now, Mariana, I want to have a really good chat about RAW, but just while we're on this issue of women mediating in conflict, what have you seen of that around the world?
Well, it's a real privilege to be here in your studio, Emma, with two amazing women, Agnes and Mary, because they're speaking so calmly about their work in the community, their peace-building efforts, and actually what it means. These women have been putting their lives on the line every day. They have been receiving death threats. They have been in danger for doing this peace work. And this is the story of the world, of all conflicts that I've seen. Women and children are the majority of the victims, but at the same time, and refugees, but internally displaced people, but at the same time, there is this untold story of courage, and there is this untold story of bravery of women who, during armed conflict time, during war time, they are actually, while the men are fighting or dead or in prison, the women are the ones that keep the community going. They're the peacemakers, but they're also the journalists, the activists, who are putting their lives on the line to tell the truth, to tell the story, and to keep life going. So I've seen it in Chechnya, I've seen it in my part of the world. I'm originally from Bulgaria. In Chechnya, I worked together with Anna Politkovskaya, the Russian campaigning journalist, who was the only voice at the time on behalf of the civilians, talking of torture, of killings of civilians during the war in Chechnya. And coming out of this, I was at the time with Amnesty International, I was the researcher on Russia. I felt we need to tell the story of women's courage. We need to support the women and their voices to be heard out of these sometimes not reported, forgotten conflicts. Like Chechnya wasn't really reported much. Now I think...
Because it was so dangerous for journalists to go to. And
yes, and politically it wasn't probably so, it wasn't cool at the time because the politicians were saying, well, that's internal matter of Russia, the Chechnya conflict. Now, so many years after, it turned around, but still nobody's talking about the situation in the conflict zone. So basically... this is how I started Roin War, to reach out to all women in conflict zones, particularly in the forgotten ones, forgotten by the media, forgotten by the humanitarian organizations. And when Anna Politkovskaya, my friend, was murdered in 2006 to silence her voice about Chechnya, I thought... we need to start an award, so I started the Anna Politkovskaya Award, which now is running for 12 years, honoring and celebrating courageous women like Anna from different war zones in the world that are sticking their heads above the
barricade,
if you want, and they are doing it, risking their lives, really.
Mm. We're going to meet the latest recipient of the Anna Politkovskaya Award probably in about half an hour, actually.
Gulala Ismail from Pakistan.
Yes.
Well, actually, last year, because it was the 70 years from the bloody partition of India, where more than a million people died, we honored with this award a Pakistani activist, very courageous, Gulala Ismail, who is fighting against Taliban and keeping young boys and girls from the north of Pakistan in schools rather than becoming Taliban fighters. And the co-winner was Gauri Lankesh from India, another courageous journalist who was murdered last September.
And Gulala will be here in probably about half an hour, I think. Now, talking about Chechnya and it not being covered much, one of the main reasons that you haven't heard much about the earthquake and the disaster unfolding in Papua New Guinea is the lack of contact with the outside world, because there's no internet in the PNG Highlands. There are hardly any smartphones, and there are hardly any media making their way there. It's so remote, though. You know, applause for the ABC's correspondent, Eric Torchek, who's been there, filing from there and doing his best. But what does no media mean for the people stuck in the disaster? If you could imagine, for instance, you're in the path of a cyclone coming into the coast of Queensland, but you know nothing about it, really, because there's no such thing as an emergency broadcaster. Well, Sharon Bhagwan-Rolls is working to change that. Sharon will also be on Saturday's panel at the WOW Festival with Mariana and Mary. Sharon Bhagwan-Rolls is a second-generation Fijian women's rights advocate. Sharon, can you tell me about FemLink Pacific, a feminist media organisation you've set up? In what way is it feminist?
It's feminist because we're addressing the gap in media coverage, and it's exactly what was just when the peace sign is over, when it's a sign of normalcy, we forget that women continue to battle in their homes, in their communities, to sustain peace. So FemLink actually emerged from the 2000 political crisis in Fiji, and coming out of a media background myself, I thought it's time that we just dedicate whatever we do in terms of our media work to amplifying women's voices from their communities to be part of building and sustaining peace. Because I think that's the real issue right now, is the issue of prevention, ensuring women's voices are heard when they're able to see the signs of conflict, even in their local communities, overcome those systemic barriers to participating in decision-making because of the persistent patriarchy, to just have access to the most appropriate technology to be able to raise their voices. And one of the areas that we're also looking at in terms of the link between, you know, the sort of whole gamut of the peace building is also at times of disasters. So while I've been here in Australia since I arrived on Easter Sunday, it's been managing our Women's Weather Watch system.
Yes, now tell me about that, Sharon. What is the Women's Weather Watch? Because I used that example of a cyclone coming in and not knowing anything about it.
And it's exactly that. To live in Australia right now and to see the way in which the weather systems are being reported, analysed and communicated and accessible is like a dream come true. We're working with women across Fiji in 10 districts on primarily at two main islands to be able to let them first get the information about their about the situation, so as early as possible they can prepare their communities, and then to support them to communicate their assessments and to be part of the recovery and the long-term reconstruction.
And Sharon, just to go right back to the basics, FemLink Pacific, a feminist media organisation, is it, it's radio, is it shortwave radio? How are women in remote areas hearing this?
So we Women's Weather Watch is an interoperable system. At the heart of it is our two community radio stations, one in the capital and one on our second main island. But we're connecting the women leaders through SMS, as well as through a Viber group as well. So we're sharing information in the best possible way that will reach the women. So we have a bulk SMS system, which is one way. It's about the alerts and the early warnings. But right now, as I was waiting for your phone call, I was receiving updates on our Viber from the women leaders, assessing what's happening on the ground. And then we amplify that through radio programs, which are broadcast and podcasts, and then put out on different media platforms, including Twitter and Facebook. So it's a combined, it's an interoperable system.
Oh, Sharon, the irony of talking to you about communicating with women clearly in remote areas, and I think you're on the Gold Coast and our phone line is terrible. But love hearing from you, Sharon, and look forward to hearing more from you on Saturday as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sharon Bhagwan-Rolls there, who will be talking on Saturday at Women of the World Festival. The session is called Refusing to be Silenced. And Mary Kinney from Papua New Guinea's CUP Women for Peace organisation will be on the panel, as well as Mariana Kartsarova, who has set up RAW, Reach All Women in War. I'll be facilitating too, so I'm lucky I get to have two chats with you. Now, just as it is coming up to halfway through the show, I want to let you know that the Commonwealth Games swimming heats begin at the Gold Coast Aquatic Centre today, and there are heats in the women's 400 individual medley from 10:31. It's in a couple of minutes. So if you're keen to hear them, you can head over to ABC Grandstand. That is the home of the Commonwealth Games on the ABC. It's got coverage 24 hours a day on Grandstand Digital, online, also via the ABC Listen app. Or you can stay with us and the Women of the World Festival. We've got some featured speakers here in the studio this morning. Now, this festival is running in conjunction with the Commonwealth Games this time in Brisbane. It's on at the Powerhouse. And we have two WOW packages to give away to you. So two of you will win a double weekend festival pass and two tickets to Hot Brown Honey. Now, this is a cabaret show celebrating women's empowerment. I've heard fantastic things about it. And the tickets are for Saturday night. So this is a great weekend that I can give you today, courtesy of the Women of the World Festival. For your chance to win, you need to call at 10:50. That's in 20 minutes' time. You need to call. Not now. Don't call now. I see one of you's trying to call now. Don't call now. Call at 10:50, and the number is 1300 222 612 for your chance to win one of those Women of the World prize packs. Also, as we continue this chat about women in conflict and disaster zones, as Mariana says, putting their heads above the barricades, have you been that woman? 1300 222 612 is the number. I know you've got fantastic stories to tell out there. If you'd rather send it in a text, you can, 0467 922 612, and you can also email the Focus team, and the email address is focusbrisbane@abc.net.au.
Focus with Emma Griffiths on ABC Radio Brisbane.
This is Focus, and we've got about 29 minutes left of the show, and Mariana Katsarova has set up Reach All Women in War. Mariana, your latest recipient of the Anna Politkovskaya Award has just come in as well. And I'm just trying to make sure I can get you on a microphone, Gulalai. But perhaps, Mariana, you could tell me first about RAW, Reach All Women in War. What does it mean to reach all women in war? To reach all women, to what purpose?
Well, one of the biggest purposes is to reach out to these incredibly brave individuals, women that are doing the work in conflict zones as journalists, as activists, the same work or as peacemakers, and support their work, support on one hand, getting their voices out so the world knows about the truth about the conflict, the truth about the suffering of civilians in these conflicts, but also what these women are trying to achieve. For example, Gulalai's work in Pakistan, and you'll be talking to her in a few minutes.
Imminently.
Imminently, yes, absolutely. But, yes. But also, you know, women like, for example, our last year's winner was, a year ago, was Jeanette Bedoya Lima from Colombia, who is another brave journalist, supporting her work against sexual violence in the 54-year-old conflict in Colombia was something that RAW set out doing. So I visited Colombia last May together with Jeanette. We met with around 50 women who survived gang rape by all sides of this conflict, and trying to support the work of our winners, trying to support the work of other brave activists who are refusing to be silenced. And Refusing to be Silenced is the platform, actually, which came out of RAW in War. We started it several years ago at the WOW Festival in London. And the WOW Festival has been this great platform for bringing these brave women from war zones who are refusing to be silenced and telling their stories, but also mobilizing support from the community. So Refusing to be Silenced is now coming to WOW Australia. Hopefully it will go to other places in the world. And we're meeting along the way women like Agnes, like Mary, like Sharon. I just learned about Sharon's amazing network. And I think Agnes and Mary were nodding. I think we will be supporting bringing this model of radio for women, but for the purpose of weather watch, because weather is a feminist issue. And actually, the weather disasters seem around the world, and particularly in this part of the world, almost like a war zone, almost like an armed conflict. So I think there is a lot of conversations we'll be having here in Australia.
Absolutely. And indeed, after the earthquake in PNG, there has been increased tribal warfare, Mary. When you were listening to Sharon Bhagwan-Jones talk about the radio and the SMS alerts, does that reach the highlands of PNG? Does it go through PNG at all, or do you have something like that there?
In PNG, we have this hotline toll-free where we call from, you know, where we are regarding anything to do with violence or gender-based violence to the child fund. And we access this, but the entire parts of PNG and the highlands, I think that we are getting a problem of having an effective communication in place. And at times, like people, there are places like the remote part of PNG and up in the highlands is Karamui, or say the northern part of the, you know, the province where there is no reach up of this the communication system, then things happening there, but you know, we don't know. It's always maybe a week or two, or maybe a month.
Word of mouth is what actually ends up bringing you the news. People talking,
talking, and you know, we get the information later, and things have been, you know, gone, destroyed, or these things already happened.
Yeah. Well, Gulalai Ismail is a Pashtun human rights activist from Swabi in Pakistan, and Gulalai has been awarded the Anna Politkovskaya Award in 2017,
but received it in London at the WoW Festival.
I see.
Just last month.
Right, and Gulalai has been given the award for her courage to speak out to defy extremism in the context of violence and armed conflict in her country. Gulalai, congratulations.
Thank you. However, when I was coming now, I just came from the airport. And I just came from the airport and I was watching a movie. I was watching a movie in... Shall I keep on speaking?
Yeah, keep going, Gulalai. Sorry, I'm just having some issues. Mm-hmm. But
So I was watching this a movie which was about Billie Jean, and she was having a game with a man, and she won, and then she received a trophy. And when she one thing that I realized that when these people who do sports, when they win trophies or awards, it's when they have won. But when we activists, when we receive award, we yet not have won. So we are in the process of fighting extremism. I would be very happy when I will win against extremism and when there will be peace in the world. Mm. So that will be the day when I will be very happy, and will be more happy to receive even congratulations when there will be more women on the peace table, when women will be part of the peace-building processes, when there won't be any conflicts in the world, when our young people won't be getting recruited in the militant organizations. That will be the time I will be very happy, because I think the way I see that war is a result of masculine, toxic masculinities. Women, the way we see mostly women as victims, we see women as victims of the war, but we don't see them as actors in building peace. Yes. So when peace building processes starts, women are not put on the table because they are mostly seen as victims who need humanitarian assistance, that too at times with gender-blind approaches, but they are not given voices on the table. And my work is also about recognizing women as peace builders so they can be on the table in the decision-making processes on peace building.
My apologies to you, Gulalai. So many wonderful women in the studio, and we're just trying to make sure that we're getting your audio through properly. Mariana, what is the role of men in this discussion? Because I've read previous comments from you where you have said it can't just be women talking about these issues.
Well, totally. I think the role of men is totally essential, because we can't just keep talking about about violence against women or about peace building in war and conflict just among ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad Gyulalai just mentioned something which has been one of the issues I very passionately care about, is the fact that men are the ones usually who start the war and conflict. They're the ones that fight the conflict. And then when time comes for a peace talk, women are in no conflicts around the world. Women are not included. They're not allowed to be at the table of the peace talks. And this, I believe, is why we really don't have lasting peace in so many conflicts around the world, because the perpetrators are talking between each other. The people that actually fight the war, the men, are talking between each other how
it's
to build
Mary's
peace.
That's what Mary's saying as well, isn't it? Yeah.
And I think it's essential that we unite forces, we women, with the men that care about women's rights and also that care about peace. There are good men, thank God, in the world. Mm. I actually hope that they're the majority of the men in the world, hopefully, who will support us. So this is a very important conversation we need to have in each of our communities. And I think with Gyulalai and Malala was, when she was 11, Malala Yousafzai was one of the trainees of Gyulalai as a young girl. But both of the of these women had amazing fathers. They still do. Human rights activist fathers that supported their daughters, both Malala and Gyulalai. And I think it has to start in the family and in the community with the men that care about...
with everybody. So, Gyulalai, what are some of the messages that your father has given you about human rights?
One of the messages which my father had always taught me is that never stay silent. When you see an injustice, when you see something wrong is happening, you have to speak up. Don't think about the impact, if it will change or not. I was very actually inspired by one of the story which my grandmother told me, since I heard we have people who work on kind of with grandmothers and mothers. When I was very young, my grandmother told me when she started seeing that I'm working on some of issues which are very unconventional in our community for young women to speak about. So to give me courage, she said, she shared a story that once there was this drought in a village because of the climate change was already happening. So there was drought in a village and people didn't have water, people didn't have to eat anything, and some clouds were once passing by, and when they saw that there's a drought, so the rain droplets in the clouds started speaking to themselves, and they were like, but we are too tiny, we can't do anything, even if we drop down, the earth will just absorb us and nothing will happen. And then there was one courageous raindrop who said, it doesn't matter if it will change anything or not. I'm going to play my part. I'm going to drop on the ground. And that one raindrop, when dropped, all other raindrops also started falling. And then there was a heavy rain and there was greenery. So this was a story which had always inspired me to keep on doing and keep on pushing for women inclusion, for women rights, and for peace building, even if I don't see the result in my own lifetime.
I love that story. Is that written down somewhere?
I hope it's written down in maybe children's books in our village, in Pakistan, in children's books. I'm sure it is written down in children's poetry, in children's book, because this is children's literature.
Yeah. Well, we've got a few raindrops here, haven't we, that have made a difference.
Can I just say something?
Agnes, there? Yes.
Yeah. You know, the thing that has continued to motivate me to do the work I've been doing, it's because I believe in women. I've seen all the things, all the bad things happen, and all the good things also. And I really believe in women. And that is why I'll just continue to promote and encourage and empower women to continue, you know, the work that we are doing. That's really all about it.
You know, in situation in countries, like for me, the situation, especially when I look at the conflict and the way the conflict has become terrible after 9/11 in Pakistan, we don't have the option to stay silent. I cannot just be a bystander looking at the young people getting recruited in the militant organizations, looking at my community people getting killed by the terrorist organizations, seeing millions of people getting displaced. Like, I cannot afford afford. No one can afford to be a bystander. In the past 2 decades, the conflict has destroyed the Pashtuns. Ethnically, I'm a Pashtun. Pashtuns have been destroyed by the conflict. They have been profiled as terrorists by the state. The state-enforced terrorism has destroyed our lives. And women, especially, like when we look at the lives of women, they were very different before the conflict. But the way they got displaced because of the conflict, the way they lost their livelihoods, they lost their loved ones, women's lives have changed entirely. Their lives have been changed for bad, not for good.
What's happened to them?
Many women had to, when men, usually in the northeast of Pakistan, men are the breadwinners. But when men die in the conflict, women have to earn bread for the family. So women who are never exposed to economical activities, they have to go and
They've never been allowed to.
Because of the cultural circumstances, they have never been allowed to. And because of the conflict, girls' schools were destroyed. The militants destroyed girls' schools. More than 300 schools were destroyed by the militants in the northwest of Pakistan. So it impacted girls' educations as well. We were doing a research to find out what is the impact of radicalization on women, and we heard so many stories from women that how they had to leave their school because the militants threatened women that they cannot go to school. And even when after the military operations, even when the area was cleared out, their fear stayed with them and they could never go back to school. So there were so many women who couldn't go back to school because of the fear of militants. So many schools were destroyed. Many women were afraid because when in 2009, when one of the areas were under Sawat Valley was under the militants' control, they would not allow women to go and earn money. So many women could not go and earn money. And even when the militants left, the fear with the women stayed there, and they couldn't go again to earn their money. But so many dialogues also, while there was a conflict, dialogues were all also happening. And in none of these dialogues, women were on the table. It was only men. And in none of these dialogues, women's issues were discussed.
Has that changed?
It has not yet changed. We recently, after there was an attack in 2 years ago, there was an attack on children, school children, and there was again a national action plan against terrorism was built. There was, I think, no woman. Maybe if one woman was there, maybe only one woman was sitting on the table. But in the national action plan against terrorism does not speak about addressing the issues of women in terrorism and how to prevent women in conflict situations. We don't have a national action plan for UN Security Council Resolution 1325. So things have not changed for women, and that's why I cannot be a bystander, and that's why I have to keep on speaking up also for women's, for inclusion of women roles in peace building, and also I have to play my role in preventing the conflict, in preventing young people from joining militant organizations, in fighting against the ideology of extremism, because in countries like Pakistan, it's not just the issue of terrorism which is a problem, it's also the ideology of extremism which is a huge problem. Mm. With military operations, we can get away with the terrorist groups, but the ideology will stay there, and we have to build alternative narratives to the extremist ideology.
Mm. Lots of work there to do, isn't there? Now, we are coming up to the time when you should be getting ready to ring in 1300 222 612. You need to call at 10:50. Two of you will be winners, and each will win a double weekend pass to Women of the World Festival. It's on at the Powerhouse. It's quite nice. It'll be on from Friday through to Sunday, and that includes the cabaret show Hot Brown Honey on Saturday night, which looks absolutely fantastic as well. So a couple more minutes and then call through. The number again, 1300 222 612. Mariana, the push for change, the thirst for change seems to come in a lot of different directions at the moment. And I guess refusing to be silenced, women's voices are being heard in a lot of different arenas at the moment. In the West, you know, you hear hashtag Me Too, hashtag Time's Up. What are emerging challenges to be on the lookout for?
Well, I think, Emma, the world at the moment is, we have shrinking space for civil society on the one hand. We have really the rise of extremism that Gulalai was talking about, and it's extremism in all sorts of shapes and forms within different religions, different parts of the world. The woman who won together with Gulalai Diana Politkovskaya Award, Gauri Lankesh, was killed because she was a journalist writing against Hindu extremism. We also honored another brave voice from the Rohingya Muslim community, Jamalida Begum, at the same time when Gulalai received her award. Jamalida was gang raped together with other women in her Rohingya community in Myanmar by the army. And when she spoke up, the army wanted to kill her. So there is really genocidal rape and extermination of the Rohingya community, for example, in Myanmar, that is going on. But that's the challenges in the world at the moment is not only for us to be heard. As Gulalai mentioned, we need new narratives that we would juxtapose to extremism and violence in
what
the different communities.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think we need a new narrative, which is the women's narrative of peace building, of peacemaking, but also the courageous voices. All of these women, Gulalai too, are risking their lives. Let's not forget that. To say all these peace building things and do this peace building action in their communities, being in PNG or in Pakistan or in Bougainville or in Chechnya or actually in Europe, where we not only had to deal with the issue of the incoming refugees and explain this whole situation that people are fleeing for their lives from the armed conflict in Syria, from Afghanistan, against a growing threat from far-right voices. And these far-right voices are not just, you know, some neo-Nazi groups marginalized in Europe. But, for example, in my country, in Bulgaria, there has been a lot of backlash against talking about, you know, the refugees are coming, fleeing for their lives. They're not extremists coming to get us in Europe. They're not, you know, from sleeping cells. And this is the narrative that the far right is putting out. But also far right extreme voices in Europe are in government. They're in political parties. They're in the parliaments. We need to be on the watch out everywhere in the world at the moment. The shrinking space we have for civil society voices, the shrinking space on one hand for women's voices to come out, and at the same time, the brave narrative of the Me Too campaign that came out, Time's Up, talking about violence, naming the perpetrators. Both these processes are happening. One is very exciting about the strength of our women's voices and the victims of violence, not just being victims and survivors, but being agents for change. And at the same time, the backlash.
Mary Kinney, in a place like Papua New Guinea, does the Me Too movement around calling out sexual assault and sexual harassment, does it have any relevance there, or is that something that's very Hollywood and Sydney and Brisbane?
Regarding the sexual violence around PNG, it's something women don't really speak up at times, and they feel that it's more secret to keep it to themselves because it's more traditional. And it's something that is shame that is around there where sometimes they don't speak up. But right now we have been trying our best to have this women's organization. And we've been networking through the
COOP Women for Peace.
Yeah, the COOP Women for Peace. And then I just came out to set up the Human Rights Defenders Desk. I was once the coordinator for COOP Women for Peace, and I still push for this Human Rights Defenders Desk. I'm one Mary, just trying to set up this desk in the Highlands to mobilize all the women in the Highlands. And, you know, doing these two things at the same time, I am trying to set up the office. It's more about mobilizing women to really, you know, have these women focusing, and, you know, they had a standby they just, you know, make themselves available so women can just come out from their hidden cells and they can always speak up. So together we can voice for a policy change. So this is what I'm really trying to do out there. And they call me a one Mary show because I'm the only one trying to, you know, like set up the office. But I know there's some way in some parts of the world, you know, I really believe that I have my women folks around there, women human rights defenders.
Well, Agnes believes in you.
Yeah, Agnes is right there. And I have Mariana sitting with me and my young lady here and Emma. I think we are all, you know, like we are women folks. And
the one Mary show, yeah, not the one woman show.
Not the one woman show.
What do you need? What help do you need? What do you need from women around the world?
You know, in the Highlands, we are really struggling to put up this office as a secretariat desk. And it's a one Mary show, but I believe that, you know, together we can move that place. And we always fight there, and we fight, you know, like the Islands human rights defenders, they come in and they say, including Coop Women Poppies, Cafe Women, Voice for Change, and we have, you know, some young, strong women out in Southern Islands, Agnes on the other side. We're all working around there, but we only, you know, we really wish that one time in PNG we left this human rights commission in place. And this is all in one, like we are just fighting for it. And if that human rights commission is in place, then I know that they're going to trickle down to where we are in the regions. And we left all these human rights defenders. And we left our women folks right in the bush. They'll come out and they'll speak for their rights.
And they'll say no to the tribal warfare.
Not to the tribal warfare and in relation to sorcery, witchcraft, armed in the Highlands. Mm. It's related to sorcery, related to tribal warfare as well. So they are always, it's something that, you know, they always look into these two other sides of making things happen and suffocating all these people out there.
Well, the One Mary show will be part of a bigger show over the weekend, much more than a show, of course. Women of the World Festival is on from tomorrow through to Sunday. And thank you so much to you for coming in today. Mary Kinney of the Coop Women for Peace in Papua New Guinea. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you so much, Emma.
Agnes Titus, who is the mother of the Bougainville Women's Movement. Thank you.
Thank you, Emma.
And Mariana Katsarova, who has set up Refusing to be Silenced, and Raw, Reaching All Women in War. Thank you.
Thank you, Emma.
And Gulalai Ismail, who has been fighting for justice in her home country of Pakistan and has won the Anna Politkovskaya Award for this year. Thank you so much, Gulalai.
Thank you, Emma.
So glad that you could come in today. And to let you know of the sessions they'll be attending as well, Refusing to be Silenced is on Saturday morning between 10 and a quarter past 11. This is all happening at Powerhouse. And Grandmothers Know Best, Celebrating the Wisdom of Our Elders with Agnes Titus on the panel there as well. That's on Sunday, early afternoon, 1:15 to 2:30. Congratulations go to our WOW Festival winners, Elizabeth in West End and Margaret in Bulimba. Thank you so much. I must say that there were heaps of people wanting to win those double passes, so you're going to have crowds of excited and keen women there to hear from you. So Elizabeth and Margaret will be heading off to the Women of the World Festival this weekend and enjoying the cabaret show Hot Brown Honey. If you've been listening and wondering how you can help alleviate the situation in Papua New Guinea following the earthquake 6 weeks ago, where people have still not received the aid that they need. The area is so remote. Many people are still without homes. There are fears that a whole generation of children will miss out on schooling. And it is one of those situations where women and children will be worst affected. You can donate to Care Australia's PNG Earthquake Appeal, head to the website care.org.au/PNG Earthquake. And thanks in advance for anything you can do there. And thank you for your company today. You didn't come to us with your stories of being in conflict or disaster. But there is still a chance to email us at focusbrisbane@abc.net.au. You can email the Focus team about today's show, any show that you hear, anything really. And we're always keen to hear from you. I'm Emma Griffiths on ABC Radio Brisbane, and I'll be back with you tomorrow from 10 with Focus. Have a great day.
Hi, Quentin Hull here. It's our Commonwealth Games in our backyard, right here in Queensland. And we've got your ticket to the moments that will last a lifetime. Gold Coast 2018 on ABC Radio Brisbane.